The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. An open line today till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com to have your say about whatever's on your mind. Well, quite a few concerns raised last night at the Moore Vannin Offshore Wind Farm Proposal public meeting in Laxey. It has to be said that the majority of residents at the meeting were against the proposal. Three people did say that they were for it. So if you were there, got any thoughts on that, then we'll hear from some of the residents later on. Call and text and email and WhatsApp, whatever you want to do. Thank you, Juan. Juan tells me, by the way, that he said the department seems to be determined to get rid of the railways, because apparently the government is considering selling the Manx Electric Railway Depot at Derby Castle. A brochure published by Chapman's is basically showing the site is for sale in a bid to basically offload it for development. Of course, the Summerland 2 was demolished 20-odd years ago, and the site's just sat empty since, disturbed only by parking and the occasional annual memorial service. The brochure says it's suitable for a variety of uses, including leisure, commercial, residential, mixed use, subject to planning. That's the Summerland site, including the Manx Electric Railway Depot at Derby Castle. That site's also home to the Isle of Man's first power station building and historic car sheds. And strategically, surely it's the best place to start the line. You can't have the depot miles away from there. But they seem determined. And of course, many people have tried to do something with the Summerland site. There have been many suggestions as to what exactly should happen at that Summerland site. Well, we'll see. Regarding the meeting last night about the proposed offshore wind farm, what are the views of the two MHKs that were in attendance? Are they green eco or pro-fossil fuel? And again, says George, we haven't yet heard from Andrew Smith or Daphne Kane as to what their position is. Obviously, it will be interesting to see what happens next year, because in a little over a year's time, there will be a general election. It will be interesting to see what potential candidates for Garth make of this proposal for these huge wind turbines to be situated offshore. Text, email, call, WhatsApp. We'll get to the phones now. We've got Mike with us now. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Andy.
You're live on the air, Mike.
Yep. I'm taking Mongero at the minute. So I'm using a local, in the Isle of Man, a local. I won't name names, shall I?
No. Don't name names.
No. Okay. So I'm being supplied by them. I've been on about 6 months now, so I'm on the maximum dose of 15 milligrams.
Right.
I pay £175 a month, which is quite a bit of money for an old pensioner.
Yeah.
Now, just informed me it's going up to £300 a month.
Right. You're not the first person to tell me this. It's basically, Mongero is basically doubling at the end of this month.
Yeah. As I understand it, across the other island, you're available on the NHS, and they're not increasing the price to the NHS. They're keeping that the same, or a very moderate price increase. I mean, I think it's we seriously need to think about supplying on the NHS on the Isle of Man, because people, it does work. I mean, I've lost quite a bit of weight. Obviously, losing weight increases my health and everything. So I'm not having to use, well, hopefully.
Okay, without getting too detailed, how much weight have you lost?
I've lost 2.5 stone.
Wow. And was it relatively easy to lose that?
Not on the lower doses, no. I didn't find they worked. But as soon as I went on up to the 10 and up to the maximum, definitely. Really suppresses your appetite. You know what? I mean, I have a handful of prunes in the morning and then I have a main meal at night, and sometimes I can't finish that and just feel full.
Wow. And what led you to get a weight loss jab in the first place, Mike? What was it? Had you tried diets before? Had you tried any other strategy?
I've tried all sorts of diets. The only one that really worked was one where you went into ketosis, where you just live on energy bars and soups. And I lost nearly 6 stone on that. But the problem is it gets boring and it gradually creeps up. Yeah. I'm 80 years old now.
Okay.
And I've done diets more or less all my adult life.
Mike, what was your weakness before? Was it sweet stuff? Was it carbs or what was it?
No, everything. Mainly carbs, I would think. It's not so much sweet stuff, but mainly just... My wife's a very good cook and I eat it.
Oh, well, there you are, you see.
Alcohol, I mean, I used to like... I've cut that down. I used to like my beer and my wine and... This Mongero, it works, and it will save the general treatment of people that are obese and overweight. It will, you know, it works.
Yeah.
And so, I think,
so as far as that, I mean, have they said where the cost is coming from? Surely the retailer's not putting up doubling the price. It must come from somewhere else.
The supplier, the retailer, well, not on the island, it's the manufacturers.
Oh, I see.
Apparently, hasn't it come down to Trump's told them to increase? I read somewhere Trump's involved in this.
Oh, my word. So, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm thinking about, I've put it to my supplier that I want to take it every other month. You know, but they're thinking about that. Obviously, they don't. But if it goes up, I can't afford to pay. I can't afford to pay £3,600 a year. It's a lot of money.
Well, that'll take your appetite away, won't it? Crikey!
I mean, it's costing me £2,100. I will do £2,100.
My word!
That's enormous.
Do you think at some point you're going to come off it, Mike?
Well, I have to. I can't afford to pay. I can't afford to pay that.
Right.
But that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But, I mean, had the price not gone up, did you have a strategy to actually come off it at some point?
Yes, I think I was trying to try and slowly wean myself, you know, and try and get to a stage where I could... I was going to try and wean myself off.
Right, OK. Well, Mike, look, we wish you the best, and I hope that can all get reconciled, and at some point you can come off that and eat your wife's delicious cooking without putting weight on.
Yeah, but I honestly think that the health, you know, the NHS, the Manx Care, whoever they are, really need to take a serious look about supplying this.
OK, all right, good point. We appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for calling today.
Bye now.
Good to hear from you. So that's a very good point worth raising. If you're on a weight loss jab, whether it's Mounjaro or Wegovy, is it shooting up in price? Well, I've heard that Mounjaro is certainly going up in price. And do you think this is something that our health service, Manx Care, obviously, should be hoovering up for us? Because the idea at the other end of this is not just, you know, to lose weight for the sake of it. It's to actually improve your health. And presumably, if you improve your health by losing weight, that will take the stress off certain things that Manx Care would have to address. And, of course, these weight loss jabs are actually from diabetes. They were to suppress appetite in people with diabetes. So any thoughts on this? By all means, do get in touch if you're on the weight loss jabs. So, a ruined view, concerns over Orsted's finances and the environmental impact. Just some of the concerns raised at the public meeting held by Garth commissioners in Laxey about the Moor Vannin offshore wind farm project, the majority of residents against the proposal.
I wanted to see democracy in action, to see both the commissioners and hopefully our elected representatives listen to the views of at least some of the constituents.
And you were one of the three people that put their hands up to say they were in favour of the proposal. Why are you in favour of it?
I'm in favour because I'm deeply concerned over the issues of the climate change, result of greenhouse gas emissions, and the biodiversity loss crises. There is no perfect solution, but we have to take a responsibility as a nation and our place internationally to tackle these really important issues of our time.
I was concerned primarily the fact that the Isle of Man as an independent state was going to allow another country, a Danish company, representing effectively the UK national grid, to build a wind farm in our territorial waters. And I don't believe there's anywhere else in the world where a country, a sovereign state, has allowed another sovereign state to build such a structure in their territorial waters for all of the energy to go to that other state. It seems bizarre and mad to me.
And what would you like to see from the meeting? Are you going to reply to the public consultation yourself?
I've already put some presentations forward, but we will do.
That was some of the people at the meeting last night. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well. Were you at the meeting last night?
I was. It was very interesting. There were many excellent questions relating to Ørsted's precarious financial situation, the vast scale of the wind farm and its potential negative effects on tourism and house values, and that'll be all the way from Ramsey to Douglas Head. The vast majority of people did not want it. What was interesting, though, you did mention earlier about what Daphne Kane and Andrew Smith thought of it. Daphne Kane was asked what her position is regarding the Moor Vannin offshore wind farm, but she declined to give her opinion, citing her obligation as a member of the Council of Ministers who have accepted the task of examining Ørsted's application for the development of the Moor Vannin project. So Daphne's evasiveness led to quite a few members of the audience asking her to recuse herself from the application process because they felt that she was placing herself above the constituents that voted for her in as an MHK in the first place. Somebody also mentioned in the audience that Daphne had been at the COP26 climate summit in Glasgow on the 4th of November 21, and that she had made a statement saying that the UK had agreed to the Isle of Man's joining the UK ratification of the Paris Agreement. So it just seems that many of the people in the audience felt that Daphne is at odds with her own constituents when they don't want this, which amounts to, you know, installing almost 90 wind turbines that will be significantly taller than the Shard in London, if anyone's seen that. Andrew Smith, although he's not on the Council of Ministers, made it clear that he's completely against the Moor Vannin wind farm project. Another audience member mentioned that the reason for the talk about renovating the control tower at Jervey Airfield, which has been in the news recently, and there was talk some time ago about potentially building a new airport, is because there are rumours of plans to place a large offshore wind farm off Langness in the south of the island, right, rendering the approach route to Ronald's Way impossible. So there's something that perhaps we need to find out if there is.
And where did that come from?
This was a member in the audience who said that they had heard that there were plans to, once Moor Vannin's in, they would move on to onto Langness. What also was mentioned was Ørsted have made an offer of 100 megawatts of electricity to the Isle of Man, which begs the question, what's the point of the Cervi onshore wind farm if that happens? Because if they're going to bring it here anyway.
When you say 100 megawatts, 100 megawatts what, per year or over the term?
That would be the capacity of the interconnector that would be brought from Moor Vannin.
Oh, right.
Although there's no specification as to whether that would be all the time or only when the wind's blowing, which is about 30 to 40% of the time.
And also, is it true that Ørsted will basically bring the interconnector as far as Groudle, and then we would have to pay for everything from where it came ashore at Groudle to get it into our infrastructure?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is all vague at the moment, but of course that would cost millions and millions. I mean, as we've seen, they can't even keep the pavement clear of weeds on King Edward Road. I went past there yesterday and you can't even see the pavement anymore. It's got 5 foot weeds almost the entire length, although you do see the odd bit of pavement occasionally. And a really interesting point that was made by an audience member. If you look at the Climate Change Act, it states that the baseline date for emissions from the island was in 2018 onwards. So everything starts from 2018 on our particular Climate Change Act. But the biggest change to the island's emissions happened in 2003 when we had the modern, much cleaner gas turbine and heat recovery steam generator system at Pullrose. So the huge improvement to the island's emissions and its, you know, the emissions footprint will never be taken into account from our Climate Change Act. But the other countries that are participating in net zero and the energy transition are all using 1990 as their starting point. So if we've already made a huge leap forward in terms of a nice clean power station compared to the old diesel generators that we had, that can't be included because our individual Climate Change Act, the legislation itself specifies 2018 as the starting point. So that huge improvement will never be included in our figures, which seems grossly unfair, don't you think?
What was the mood of the meeting like?
Basically, everyone had very, very good points, very, very intelligent audience, and really, everything was a salient point. There was, you know, it was a shame that Ørsted weren't there to at least try and answer it. The other point I would like to make also is, Comin in the news has said that they will be deciding on more vanning at the application through the maritime infrastructure way of doing things. But that's only 10 members out of 24 MHKs, all of whom have been elected and voted to look after their constituents. So you've got less, you know, you've got less than half of the MHKs are going to be making this decision. So you're only going to have Alf Cannon, Dave Ashford, Tim Johnston, Claire Barber, Claire Christian, Jane Paul Wilson, Michelle Hayward, Tim Crookall and Alex Allinson will be deciding this. That doesn't seem very democratic. I mean, I think we'd all like to have all our representatives there, you know, putting their voices to it, because this is, it seems there's a lot of things to be thought about here, especially after that meeting. A lot of interesting points that were brought up.
Okay, and you say that Mr. Smith indicates he's firmly against it.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling today, Julian.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
There's the chair of GARF commissioners, Stan Ryzak.
I think the meeting went very well. I think there was a lot of concerns over what's happening on that east coast of the island. And one of the biggest concerns, I think, is they keep talking about off Mackled Head. It is quite obvious it's not just Mackled Head. It goes right down to Onchan. If that's the case, it's the whole east coast of our island. It will have a massive impact on that. And I think the meeting did fantastically well. A majority, by the sounds of it, were against. There were some good points made, some points about financials, some points about environment, and how obviously we have to have renewable energy, whether it's just one wind farm or other different types of renewable energy. I think it makes a lot of sense.
And how are you going to use these views then going forward? Obviously, you guys called the meeting to inform your opinion for the consultation and for when the application came to you guys. So what are you going to do now?
Well, obviously, we'll take it back. We'll discuss what we thought the outcome of the meeting was. I think there was about 70 or 80 people voted against it and about two or three voted for it. We've had a couple of emails coming into the office in favour of it. We've also had a couple of emails in the office against it. So we'll discuss this in future meetings.
Stan Ryzak, Chair of GARF Commissioners, and his summing up of the meeting yesterday. It has to be said, of course, that you would expect everybody who was going there to have a firm view. And presumably, if you're against it, you probably are going to show up and voice your opinion. You know, if that had been a meeting in Laxey talking about the Eristain wind farm, maybe the views would have been different. I mean, of course, these are people who are bothered, very bothered, about something absolutely on their doorstep. And particularly, there may be, you know, 8 miles offshore or a bit more, but with the perspective effect, they will appear very, very close. Stand up at the top of Laxey Valley and you'll see them clear as daylight. Very clear as daylight. But I just go back to the point that's been made recently. This is the Isle of Man government is on the rails for net zero. We're on the journey, and this is something that is going to have to happen simply because it is the will of Tynwald. It's been put into statute. It is going to happen. What do you do about it? If you're against it, obviously you can have your say. If you're for it, presumably you're happy that this is going to go forward. I just wonder what your thoughts are. Text, email, call and WhatsApp on this. And also just regarding this thing about the Manx Electric Railway depot at Derby Castle, which the government would consider selling as part of offloading the Summerland site. Obviously, the department will consider development proposals involving the purchase and redevelopment of the MER depot on the basis that existing or similar facilities will be provided with the enlarged scheme. And also the purchase will be expected to incorporate a memorial garden within this design. The future of Summerland. Seems like we've been talking about that for a long time.
World-class racing returns to the Isle of Man. And while the racers take to the tracks, Tesco has everything you need to fuel your own adventure, wherever you're watching. From meal deals to barbecue essentials, we'll sort your pit stops this season. Setting up camp, get race day ready with great value camping gear. With 10 stores open 7 days a week, Tesco are here to keep you on track. Tesco. Every little helps.
Room. Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
LVW Law are a team of experienced advocates, solicitors and barristers, trained mediators and international arbitrators. Let them help you achieve the best possible outcome in your case with their wide range of legal services for businesses, corporate and private clients. You can trust the LVW Law team to fight for you every step of the way. Visit lvwlaw.com and make an appointment today. Your first 30 minutes are free. LVW Law, they're on your side.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3 p.m. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 12:30. Thanks to Peter, who just says, why don't we just buy electricity from other people who have got wind farms? Why do we have to have our own? Why do we have to disadvantage ourselves in terms of the environmental impact and the view when we could just as easily get, if there's going to be other wind farms, why do we have to have it? Why do we have to show our credentials to the rest of the world? We don't pollute the world. Why should we do this? And Mark said the people in favour of wind farms have had the same opportunity to attend as those opposed. The majority clearly don't want to proceed with what Mark says is net zero madness. And a note in from 450, the International Council for the Exploration of the Seas recently published a report on the impacts of offshore wind on commercial fisheries. They list scallops and herring as amongst the most vulnerable to impacts during construction and operations. Herring and scallops are two of the most important commercial fish stocks around the Isle of Man's east coast. Has anybody thought of that? If you look out to sea at Cromer in North Norfolk, you can barely see the Sheringham and Shoal wind farms 8 miles offshore. That's 805. Thank you, 805. You have to take into account the fact that, as Noel Coward said, Norfolk is very flat. Very flat. Whereas we've got lots of hills. And we'll be looking at the wind turbines off the east coast from the hills. I mean, some people will be at sea level, but the roads are up on the hills. But again, point taken. And here's Juan now. Hi, Juan.
How are you doing, Andy?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah.
What a gorgeous day.
Yeah, absolutely. For ducks, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I went out to eat the other night. Well, the bill suppressed my appetite. There's a good way to go. I just wonder with this Majano fame, just listening to your previous caller there, and he said he got bored with his diet. And I just wonder, and I know quite a few people that's on this suppressant drug at the moment, and it does work very, very well for people. But I just wonder, is that the easy alternative? I mean, you do have to go out and exercise and do stuff as well to get this working, because as soon as you come off it, you're just going to go back to where you were, surely. So I just don't wonder if it's the easy answer for people, you know, and they think it's going to be the miracle cure. But, you know, as far as putting it on the NHS goes, I mean, it's a difficult one. I'm sure some people can't exercise and get out. But, you know, if it's the stage that you're just bored of your diet and then you're wanting the NHS to pay for it, is that really suitable in this day and age where we're struggling to get dental treatment and stuff like that?
I'm trying to think. I don't seem to recall that the NHS I don't think they pay for gastric bands. I think you have to pay for those still, don't you?
I think you do. I think you do. But I mean, the drummer in the gastric band is fantastic, Andy. I'm not so keen about the guitarist. I was at the meeting last night. Some very empowered talking going on there. Kiri Jenkins gave a very empowered speech, as did Annie Crane, who I think Annie was the former Treasury Minister. Am I correct?
Oh, well, she was certainly in Comin.
Yeah. And Annie gave a very empowered speech, not in favour of the wind turbines. And there was a few people who obviously were there to listen, who is obviously it's a confusing issue for people, and people are still trying to take in the pros and cons. So there's a few people there that didn't vote. But as Julian said, the majority of the hall were not in favour of the wind turbines going ahead. And as Julian said as well, Andrew Smith clearly stated where he stood on the matter and in not supporting the wind turbines. I think the disappointment, and I don't know whether the blame is all with Daphne on this, but abstaining from making where you stand to your electorate is not a good view for the people who voted you in. We said on this programme a few times, Andy, about you vote for the people, you give your vote, you vote by consent, you give your vote to your representative to represent you within the government. So Daphne made a comment about not being conflicted, and I did make the comment back to her that I thought she was conflicted. She was the chair of the Climate Change Board. And also not being able to stand in front of your representatives and tell them where you personally lie, I think causes a problematic issue within government for your elected representative, would you say?
Well, the one thing you could say about her is she's certainly a team player where Comin's concerned, isn't she? And she's made no secret of the fact in the past about the fact that she very, very much supports the net zero policy on the Isle of Man. So it would be a bit strange if she did a handbrake turn at the meeting last night. Just to appear popular, she's obviously standing up for her own principles.
Well, and that's fine. But again, would the electorate have voted her in last time if we know where we are now? And the question again has to be, are we trying to fix something here that's not broken? You had an email in before, I think, about, or I think it was the guy that spoke last night at the meeting, sorry, you played it earlier on about, you know, we have to be part of the bigger world. And we're doing quite well over here. I think Julian had mentioned our biggest problem here was the old Pullrose power station, which was cleaned up many years ago.
Yeah.
So we do a good part in what we do over here. And are we going to bankrupt ourselves to support something in the world which probably is going to happen regardless? It's just someone somewhere is making a vast fortune out of something. If we're going into a solar minimum or something like that in the next few years, we're at the peak of where we are. And, you know, whatever they do is not going to change. It's going to make someone a lot of money somewhere. Yeah. I mean, all I have to do is look at Al Gore and John Kerry's bank accounts since they started being climate czars to find out who's making the money. Okay. So as far as our island's concerned, we do need sustainability in electricity, power, food, and water is our sustainability. We can pull the drawbridge up from the storm that's going to hit everywhere else.
Okay.
But I don't think the wind turbines is the way forward.
All right.
And again, I had to go back to geoengineering.
Okay, appreciate it, Juan. Thanks for calling us today.
Take care, Andy.
Okay, and a message in just says, this is regarding the wind turbines. Lots of messages in regarding the wind turbines. Can you define net zero to me? Says Desmond. Well, I'll do my best. Net zero, global net zero emissions are reached when greenhouse gas emissions and removals of greenhouse gas emissions due to human activities are in balance. So net zero emissions, often that's where net zero comes from. Once global net zero is achieved, the people say further global warming is expected to stop. Now, emissions can refer to all greenhouse gases, not only to carbon dioxide, but actually it's carbon monoxide. That's incomplete combustion. And when carbon monoxide gets into the atmosphere, it takes another oxygen molecule and becomes carbon dioxide. So when people talk about carbon dioxide, they're really talking about carbon monoxide. So reaching net zero is necessary to stop further global warming, is what is suggested. It requires deep cuts in emissions, for example, by shifting from fossil fuels to sustainable energy. Think like things like PV panels, solar panels, and wind turbines, tidal energy, stuff like that, improving energy efficiency and halting deforestation. A small remaining fraction of emissions can then be offset by using what's called carbon dioxide removal. That really, in a nutshell, is what net zero amounts to. And that's really what we're, I mean, despite the fact that we don't really emit that much, we're in on the global trend to go net zero. That's what it's all about. Right, back to the phones we go. And let's see, we've got Jeffrey with us now. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, Andy. You've just been explaining it all to us. That's a good idea. My problem being is why? Why? Why do we have to do this? Have we not got enough energy and gas coming in? We have to stop it because somebody has said that we'll solve the problem.
Well, what's happened over the last few years is the concept of global warming and climate change, as it's now called, you know, there are people who say that the seas are going to rise and the icebergs are going to melt and it will cause all sorts of climatic problems. So really, what we need to do is cut emissions worldwide. Emissions have to be cut, and therefore it can be reversed, so they say.
So you've been across to China and told them, of course.
Well, this is it. The whole thing about India and China, who are the world's biggest polluters and the world's biggest emitters, but that fact seems to have passed them by.
Exactly. And yet we, as a small island, as we all know, we are going down this road because somebody else over there is telling us what to do. And we've got MHKs here. I've got on the bandwagon. So the people of this island, 10 years, 15 years, are going to suffer through the ideals of these people doing what they're doing. I can't find anybody, apart from one or two, agrees to stick these damn things all over the place in the Irish waters. It will spoil the island. And just changing the point a little bit, somebody needs to look at Holland. The farmers in Holland are starting now to take them down because they're causing problems. So my question is also saying, why do we have to do it? Is it somebody over there telling us that we have to do it when we are supposed to be independent? Or is it the MHKs in our island decided we have to do it because somebody over there says if we don't do it, we're going to cause problems in the planet years on? And you've got half the world fighting half of them fighting. I don't want to change a thing about people starving and everything else, but the priority seems to me, every time you look on YouTube, you look on the news, climate change. We had somebody on the television a couple of weeks back saying it's climate change, the farmers can't get the food out. 5 days, 6 days of sunshine. It's getting to people, in my way of thinking, we cannot move on in our lives. We have to be put it down our throats 24/7. As the meeting went last night, you're getting to people constantly. Nobody can live their lives now. Nobody. You can't get up in the morning and have breakfast and go and join the day without somebody saying it's pouring rain, it's down to climate change, or the sun's too hot, it's down to climate change. Why is the Isle of Man not listening to the people? That's my argument in all this. We're a small island. I don't think the CEO has got a number on it, what we're pushing out here. Yet we've been told by somebody else, we have to do it. That's my argument, Andy.
Okay, Geoffrey, we appreciate your call. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, it's 18 minutes before one. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Geoffrey there, he's saying just what a lot of people are thinking, except the people that are in the power, politicians, etc., they're chewing the cud of the green scene. And as he says, you get up in the morning, you're not allowed to think for yourself anymore. Every time they're reading a script on the TV for the weather, and it is, it'll only be a script, but you can count the number of times on a weather forecast where the word climate change, you know, it's crazy.
Have you noticed, but, Howard, on those weather maps now, they're using deep red and crimson colours?
Oh, yes, that's a psychological effect on keep the people worried. And Generation Z are coming up through, and they've never seen, well, this is what we used to call summer, when it got warm in the summer. Now they're having sun bombs and thunder bombs and all this, that, and the other. You know, people of my age, we used to go out in the summer and we'd be playing all day long. And, I said to one lady yesterday, my mother used to say, if you come in again, you're staying in. And that was it. We'd be out until the lights come on at night. But not today. You're not allowed to do that with these people that's on the television keeping you brainwashed, is the word. But anyway, what I was coming on for, and it was something you mentioned a minute ago, the Summerland site.
Yeah.
And somebody within government possibly is talking about incorporating the tramway, the electric tram garages, etc.
Yeah.
But how many of those people have actually been in those tram sheds? Because I don't know if you've been in personally, but if you go in there, that's potted history. And I've been in several times, but the last time I was in, there was one youngish chap, and he enthusiastic about the place. He loves it. He works in there. And they got Andrew Scarfe, who's part and parcel of it, and he loves being in amongst the trams. But down the bottom end of one of those sheds, there's a huge big, and I think it's a transformer. And this young fella said to us, that there transformer, and it is large. He said that was built by the same people who built the transformers, the electrical equipment for the Titanic.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and that, I don't know if it's still working, I doubt it, but it's there. In the bottom end of the old tramway shed, and you know the Titanic, she went down 1912. So we've got a serious gap between that and what we've got in Douglas here. So if they're talking about possibly incorporating that, where are they going to keep the trams? Are we going to get another halfway tram system?
Well, presumably, and as you say, I've been in that shed, and it's like a museum. It's one of those things. And many people think, you know, you can't go in there. You can at certain times, you can go around and have a look. So it'll be interesting to see. And obviously, they're just, the government is obviously trying to get land off its hands and trying to get some money. And they're trying to get the Summerland site, do something with the Summerland site. Now, various people in the past have tried to do it. I remember, I think the two Mr. Priests, I think at one time, were trying to do something with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they mentioned the forbidden word apartments. So it all got pushed to one side. So who knows what's going to happen? I mean, the Summerland site, Howard, is huge, isn't it?
It is. The rock structure, I remember that being built, and the old park superintendent, Eric Coward, he was advising what, you remember all the rock face there, it was pinned, and that palm trees and plants are all growing up. It was meant to be established, and it would have been established now. But that rock face is of a, well, I suppose a poor quality stone. And we've had objections from the people living directly above that they didn't want anything substantial in front of them, plus the cost of having to underpin the rock face again. But the mere fact that somebody, it makes my blood boil, it does, they're looking at the land that's alongside for the electric railway just as land. It's not. It's an asset. And it's an asset owned by the people of the Isle of Man and as taxpayers. So why should these people be allowed to sell an asset like that without due thought? And as you rightly say, if you walk in there, that is a living, working museum. Would they walk into Craich, Beamish and Reckitt and move everything about a mile, 2 miles down the road because, well, we need to sell this bit of land. Somebody wants to put a block of flats up. Now, that's the same thinking as what the ones that's planning this have there. And they have no interest whatsoever in what the history of the Isle of Man is. They're just looking at money. And anything that will raise money, they will do it. And that's what they seem to be hell-bent on. As I said just a minute ago, we've a prime example. We now have a halfway tram service. And they're doing a business case, a farcical, on how and why and should we raise the money to put the trams, the horse trams, to the sea terminal. That was already done when the promenade was planned. What they should be looking at is why was there not a business case made for that £1 million that went missing?
Yeah.
That is a fraud. But they're now moving the goalposts and saying we're having a business case to see whether it's worth putting the trams. They are the ones that should have been looking at the business case for where that other money was going to go to. But for God's sake, get some sense of these people. And I'm going to ask when they come round here, what was your views on the, where are they going to put the tramway station? There's nowhere between there and Groudle where they could put it safely. And nobody wants to get off the boat and go all the way to Groudle to get on a tramway that goes halfway up the island.
Okay. All right, Howard, we'll try and get to the bottom of that and see where it leads us. Okay, thanks for calling
today.
Well, it's
the usual headless chicken syndrome that's kicked in the government, and they just don't think before they open their mouths.
Okay. All right, Howard, good to hear from you. Thanks for that today. The clerk of the course has confirmed a further delay in today's schedule. The roads aren't going to close until 1 o'clock. A further update will be issued imminently. The news because of the weather for the racing today.
Ramsey Garden Centre. For roses, shrubs, climbers, trees and perennials. Or solar lights, stone ornaments and bird baths. There's never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week.
Out and about this summer, EVF service stations have everything you need to make the most of it. Hot and cold food, chilled wine and beers, barbecue essentials and more. You can even pick up your lottery tickets at our stations across the island. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Vannin Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
Suffering with joint pain or severe migraines? Whether it's from an injury or ongoing illness, you don't have to suffer in silence. The crowd The clinic at Hospice Isle of Man in Strang offers expert private pain management tailored to you. And the best part, every penny of profit goes straight to supporting free hospice care for our community. Take control of your pain and feel like yourself again. Visit crowthclinic.im or call 647 450. Crowther Clinic, private care with purpose.
The Isle of Man Creamery, famous for the freshest Manx milk, dairy products, Noah Bakehouse treats and more, has now made ordering deliveries even easier. Simply download the Isle of Man Creamery Doorstep Direct app and you're ready to order. Reschedule deliveries, see your order history and request invoices. Treat your taste buds in a few taps. Get info and add to your order now at isleofmancreamery.com/delivery. Or visit your app store to download the app now.
As part of MGP and Classic TT 25, look to the skies above Douglas Bay. For the very first time, the RAF Typhoon will be thundering into action to display above the Isle of Man. Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Don't miss the breathtaking speed, power and noise of Britain's frontline jet fighter. Catch every manoeuvre with commentary live on Manx Radio FM and AM. Bring a radio, tune in and feel the thrill as it happens. The Royal Air Force Typhoon display. Loud, fast and unforgettable.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
8 minutes to one, Anthony said the wind turbines might eventually reduce electricity bills for people who are struggling. We need somebody to work out the basic, easy-to-understand numbers for people to understand to make informed decisions, says Anthony. Thank you, Anthony. And Bonzo's on. Hello, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, I hope you've got your earplugs for tomorrow for when the typhoon comes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, when they light the burners on that, yes, things shake and the air tears up. So, have you ever seen the Vulcan? You must have seen the Vulcan.
Oh, crikey, yes, that made some noise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's that kind of thing. Yes, as regards yesterday evening's meeting regarding the Morvanin wind farm, and I think in particular some of the flack that Daphne Kane's getting. I was hearing one person who was saying that somehow, or inferring that somehow Daphne Kane had been disingenuous with the electorate when standing for as MH Kane 21, by not really stating her position on climate change and renewables and such. And that position was very well known. She attended COP as a departmental member of DEFA, if I remember rightly. So that was part of her government duties anyway. And as I say, her position is quite well known, it's been continuously well known. But now she is a member of COMIN, and COMIN, strangely enough, sits to manage things in the national interest. Not entirely for the interests of members' constituencies. And this is another thing that people seem to strangely not understand, or hasn't really been sort of explained very well, in that we have a representative democracy. And yes, people put on their manifestos, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, this is, what this is my view, etc. But when they get to keys, they can exercise their judgment on how they see the situation at the time. And they can, indeed, follow their consciences, yeah, which may or may not agree with their constituents. But when you then become a minister within COMIN, you have to then consider the national interest. And Morvanin is about the national interest. And again, we're getting even more confusion and misinformation, disinformation, or a lack of communication. In that strange people, strange notions go around that somehow we're paying for it. Or why aren't we getting free electricity from it? Or why do we need it when we're going to have a 20 megawatt wind farm there? People, it really hasn't been explained that the key reason that we're having it there, is to get money, and to get large amounts of money. And the arguments now about whether it should go ahead are about how much money Ørsted is going to give us, whether they're going to give us a fair price. And if they're not going to give us a fair price, then they can sling their hook. And that is the sort of thing that, those are the kind of issues that need really to, I think, be put forward to people, in that renewables and action on climate damage, etc. It's about money. and it's about helping us not have to bear various large costs, which we otherwise might do. Yes, it will cost some money to prepare, but you know, building a seawall costs money. Fixing the roads costs money.
Interesting. You know,
and it is exactly the same. Concept.
The point that you make about the fact that when we vote for somebody, they're our representative and not our delegate.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't vote for politicians and expect them to kind of act like a robot. They do. We vote politicians who are bright and intelligent and have ideas. Sometimes those ideas will cut across what the voters think.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of being in government is about not really doing what you want to do, but doing the least worst thing.
Okay. We appreciate it, Bonzo. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, then. Thanks again.
Good to hear from you. Some years ago, we bought a Dera printer for our computer. It had ink tanks, and so the ink has been very cheap. What the instructions don't tell you is that it's programmed to stop working after 5,000 sheets. Is this true? A replacement printer could cost £200. On the internet today, I bought a code for $10 from an enterprising company, and the printer's now as good as new. That's one less printer on the scrap heap. Is that true? Are some printers sold programmed to stop working after 5,000 sheets? Well, thank you, John, for that tip there. The little cheat is to get a code on the internet and get your printer working again. Right, that's it. Phil Gorn's on Man in Line tomorrow, and I'll catch you next week. Have a great weekend. And thanks to Howie on the phones. WINT.